And for our scripture reading this morning, we'll turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. I'd like to read a few sections which demonstrate the hospitality that was shown in the early church. As we continue our theme with hospitality today, our text will be again from 1 Peter 4, verse 9, that we began looking at last week. But we will read first from Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 11. And it's where Paul meets Lydia, and she is saved under the preaching. So Acts chapter 16 and verse 11 says, "Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. And now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." Then jumping to verse 25, Paul and Silas continue on their journey and end up in prison. But in verse 25, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." Then further, turning to the next chapter, beginning at chapter 17, we'll read from verse 1 through verse 9. "And now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scripture, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring him out to the people. But when they did not find him, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too, and Jason has harbored them. And these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus.' And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go." As far our reading of God's Word, and our text, as I mentioned, comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, which reads, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Now, dear congregation, as we continue the theme of hospitality today, this is now our third sermon considering that theme. In 1 Peter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." And now when Jesus said in Luke 9 that whoever wants to follow him must deny themselves and take up their cross, this also includes hospitality. Hospitality can be difficult. It can fall under the category of self-denial and taking up one's cross. I was reading of a fellow Christian in India. There was a Pastor Samuel who had been preaching in that village for some time, and there were 8 families who had become believers. And as a result, they were banned by the town from using the local water well. They were not allowed to have any work in the town. They were not allowed to have any food rations. They were not even allowed to walk on the village roads. And then they started getting threats, death threats, and warnings that their houses would be burned. And one day it did happen, as they were having a prayer meeting, that the mob came and they attacked the house. They beat them with sticks. They burned all the furniture and their Bibles. And when they called for the police would not come. And so as they went to the clinic, the doctor said, "Oh, your wounds are not bad enough. I don't need to treat you. Just go home." And so they drove to the next city to the hospital there, where the doctors treated them for concussions, for broken bones, and for open wounds that had to be stitched up. And not long after, more houses were destroyed. And the police still did not help them. All the police said, "Well, maybe it's better if you just leave." Now, if they have to leave, would you be comfortable showing hospitality to them? Would we open the doors for people like this, driven from their homes in towns that no one wants? Because this is the context in which Peter is writing to us and to the church here. Because 1 Peter 1, verse 1 says, he writes to the pilgrims or to the strangers who are scattered throughout Pontus, Asia, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, scattered by persecution. So we wish to consider this theme of hospitality. And as I mentioned last week, we're the arms of godly living, the receiving of brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. And our theme, or our title this morning, is the challenging obligation. Last time we saw hospitality as a blessed opportunity, and today we see it as a challenging obligation. And so first we'll consider some hindrances to hospitality. Why do we not show hospitality always? Well, first of all, our own attitude. If we do not have a Christ-like mind or attitude, we will also not be looking for opportunities. But Peter, he recalls us to show hospitality, and not just to show hospitality, but he says, without grumbling. And we can be quick to tell our children what that means. When we ask our children to do something, we say it must be done immediately, it must be done completely, and it must be done with a willing heart. There are the 3 aspects of obedience. It must complete obedience all the way, or immediate, it must be right away, and it must be with a willing heart or loving obedience. Because sometimes we can see it in the children. They're listening, they're doing what we told them to do, but they're making it very clear that they don't want to. They're grumbling. They're muttering. Peter says, be hospitable without grumbling. Grumbling is that complaining, that muttering under our breath, or that resentment to do what we are told to do. But Paul says in Philippians 2, he calls us to do all things without murmuring and disputing. or without complaining or arguing. Because as soon as we don't want to do something, we either complain or we argue why we don't want to do it. And there can be many complaints or many arguments of why we shouldn't show hospitality. And one other element, the next element, would be danger. Not only our own attitude, but the danger that we can face. Hospitality can be dangerous. Because if we opened our doors, our houses to these people who had been kicked out of their own village, then the mobs might be coming for your house next. If you're associated with them, they will also do the same. As we saw in Acts 17, as we read, where Jason lodged Paul and Silas and some other brethren, and the mob came to his house, and they couldn't find Paul and Silas, so they drug Jason out along with his other brethren. And they attacked them. When Corrie Ten Boom housed the Jews in her house in the Netherlands during the Second World War, what happened? But then the Germans came and drugged them out and brought them to the concentration camp. And some of them died in the concentration camps. In North Korea, if you are caught with a Bible, you and your whole family will be put into concentration camps or work camps. And so one of the hindrances to showing hospitality, not so much in our country, but around the world, is the danger, the fear of what others will do to us. But even in our own country, there are safety concerns that we have to be mindful of. Because it is not always practical to host everyone. There are certain concerns that we need to keep in mind. Even if we see these people coming, we do need to take precautions that we just do not simply make ourselves the next target. But in our own country, we can think of single women should not be housing single men, especially ones that are that they don't know or don't trust. Parents need to keep the safety of their children in mind. That's our first priority. But there also must be discernment. It's true we can't help everyone. There are so many people that need help in this world. And we have to understand what it means to actually help them. Because simply giving to people who are going to be using it for the wrong ends, either for addiction or gambling or whatever it may be, that's not helping them. That's not showing hospitality. That's simply enabling them to continue in their path. But hospitality is meant to help people, specifically those who are fleeing from something that's harming them. But because there are dangers involved, hospitality does require self-denial. It requires a fervent love. And at times there will be dangers involved. But in Hebrews 13, verse 6, where God says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers," a few verses later he says, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We have to remember, God is the one who controls all things. Another concern might be expense. Hospitality can be expensive. You imagine all these people coming to your house. They'll have no food, they have no place to stay, and how can they pay you back if they've lost their job? It's not so easy, and you might be quick to grumble. How can I afford this? How can I provide for them? But it's remarkable, when I was in Africa, that there was the families who had very little. They already had 5 or 7 children, and you talk to them because they have more than that, more children with them, and they say, "Well, these are orphans. We've taken in 2 or 3, but that's really all we can help, because it's all the food we have." And these scattered and persecuted Christians also are orphans. They can't pay you back. So there is an expense. Paul, when he stayed in places, he worked as a tent maker trying to pay his way. But that's not always possible. But here is where we see how the gospel opens our kitchen as well as our heart. Zacchaeus, when he was saved, he invited people over to his house, including the Lord Jesus. The gospel opens our pocketbooks as well as our hearts. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And this giving to the church is not only for the operations of the church, but also especially for the diaconal needs, helping the poor through the means of the church's ministry. Another hindrance might be inconvenience. How often do we find it inconvenient? It comes at the wrong time. You know the story in Luke 11 where the man says that his friend came to him at midnight, but he had no food. So he went to his neighbor and started knocking on the door and said, "Can I have some bread? I have a visitor who came." And that parable there teaches us to be persistent in praying, but it shows that these things can happen at the most inconvenient time. And the neighbor said, "No, I'm in bed. My children are in bed. The door is locked. How can I help you now? It's midnight." But he persisted and he received some bread. But the point is, how often do these things happen when we least expect them and when we have the least time for it? Our minds can be on 100 other things. It can be difficult to take strangers in. Many of us do not feel able to talk with strangers. We don't have the energy to commit to it. But that is also why God, in the next verses here in Peter, he says he's given to everyone a variety of gifts. Not everyone has the same gift, but it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards. In what ways can we help those who we come across? We're not all expected to do the same things, but we must not be quick to think that we can't do anything and that we just turn our backs on them. Because we have to remember, this is not a suggestion, but it's God's command. Be hospitable without grumbling. And so the question is, how, as Christ says, how can we serve the least one of these, his brethren? And time is another hindrance, not only inconvenience, but time. In North America, especially, we are directed by time. Our lives are usually dictated by our schedules, and there's a very good reason for that. We are called to have everything decently and in order, and it's important to redeem the time. But how often this can turn into a selfish motive of what we have scheduled, what we want to do. We're so attached to our schedule, we don't allow God to change it for us. But our time is not our own, is it? Man plans, but God directs, Proverbs 16 says. And so it takes self-denial to adjust our schedules and not to grumble when something changes. Because we confess along with our catechism that our life is not our own, our time is not our own, our money is not our own. But we belong body and soul and life and death to Jesus Christ who bought us. And if we are His, that means all that we have is His, at His disposal to use for His church and His brethren. But more than that, we can also just feel inadequate. Sometimes we can be influenced by what the world shows us as what is important. Maybe the world says, well, you need this size of a house with a pool and a huge kitchen in order to entertain guests. And you think, well, I don't have that, so how can I have people over? Maybe you feel inadequate because of where you live. I have heard people, you go there and you can't stop making excuses for their little kitchen or their couch that is not just up to par. And so they feel a little embarrassed about what they have. But that's not what hospitality is about. Or maybe you think you can't cook or serve. Or it could be the opposite. Maybe you do have a large house, and well, you don't want those shepherds to come and make your white carpets all dirty. You don't want those people off the streets to come into your house. And so your pantries might be full, but you have no room. You have nothing extra for the needy. But both of these extremes are really a form of pride. Either pride in what we have or pride covered up because of what we do not have. But all these hindrances are secondary. They're surrounding temporal things. But God has determined that His gospel is to be spread even through broken and earthen vessels. And we as people are all broken by sin, broken by the consequences of sin in this life. And if we try to walk around covered up in duct tape, making ourselves all shiny on the outside but broken on the inside, nobody can relate with us. Nobody can relate with duct tape. But we need to be open with one another, to show us each other's hearts, our brokenness, our needs. Just like Christ himself came into this world and he walked as a broken man among broken people, seeking sinners, searching them out. He is a man who had no house of his own, and yet he had compassion on everyone he met, everyone who was in need. And so this hospitality, it focuses not so much on the material things that are often a hindrance for us, but it focuses on the heart, as we saw in the last few weeks. Because in Philippians 4, Paul also thanked the Philippians. He said that no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruits that may abound to your account. So Paul, even though he appreciated the gifts, he was more happy to see the fruit of faith in the hearts of these Christians that were willing to help out those in need. And it is often when we help others, when we go out of our way to help those in need, we end up coming home more refreshed and strengthened ourselves. Thinking that we're going to help someone else, we come home realizing that they have helped us in some way more, or the Lord has blessed it. And so the point is not really, are we adequate for this task, but is that life of faith alive in our hearts? Is there that desire to help those in the name of Christ? But then the other hindrance is an outright refusal of hospitality. And that hindrance has nothing to do with the external, but everything to do with the heart. Because when Jesus said in Matthew 25, "Inasmuch as you did it not to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it not to me." It means denying hospitality from the heart is denying Christ. When him and his disciples walked through the village of the Samaritans, they denied him hospitality. They did not receive him. They refused them. And it means they not only refused them, but their message, their religion. They wanted nothing to do with them. They rejected their company. The reason these Christians were persecuted is because they wanted nothing to do with their religion, with their God, and they drove them out of their village. And this is the very reason that Christ came into this world. He came into his own, and his own received him not, he says. In fact, he was rejected and crucified. And the sinful heart by nature rejects our neighbor and casts him away and doesn't want to help them. But Christ came, he was cast out for sinners so that he could renew sinners by the grace of God, so that we also would be turned to help others. And then that true hospitality is really what Ruth communicated to Noah and to Naomi when she said, "Your God is my God and your people are my people." Then all those hindrances are removed. All those external hindrances are removed. When the focus becomes of the heart, if God is your God, you are my people. That is my God. And so then our second main point, we move to the encouragement to hospitality. Yes, it is a challenging obligation, but there is an encouragement here in the second point. Because hospitality then is that language of the church, the language of the heart, the extension of the heart, the arms of godly living, that hospitality. And it's essential that the church be a vibrant place of hospitality, first to one another and then also to strangers. This is characteristic of the early church. We can see in scriptures. In Acts 2, verse 46, it says they were continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food there with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. So both in the public worship and in their homes, they were having fellowship, sharing in meals, sharing in fellowship. And so it really reflected that unity of the church, that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so if we want to strengthen the bond of this church, we are to increase our hospitality. And I'm thankful for the many signs of hospitality that we do see among us. And we pray that the Lord would bless it to each of our hearts and to this congregation. But if hospitality is not a part of our life, then we have to realize that we're also not following God's law, God's word. And that means we need to repent of our sin and see where we must obey this law. But then it's also the basic requirement of church leaders. In 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, some of the requirements for the church leaders says they are to be blameless, or to be a husband of one wife, or to be temperate, sober-minded, good behavior, and hospitable. And that really means they're to be given to hospitality, to be inclined to hospitality without grudging. Actually, the opposite of grudging. They are to be looking for those opportunities to show hospitality. There must be that willingness, that eagerness to show hospitality in the church as examples of the flock. And it's also a basic response or requirement of all the members of the congregation to each other, but also to the office bearers. And Hebrews 13 says, they watch for our souls and they must give an account to God. And so if the office bearers extend hospitality to us, we must receive it, and vice versa. And especially when it comes down to receiving them into our homes for house visitation, as it's known, we must open our doors. Because the purpose here also is this hospitality, is this fellowship with one another to meet us where we're at. Our homes is where we are most real. This is where we live our life. And this is where we must communicate with one another as brothers and sisters and as leaders in the church. They don't come just to poke around into your business, but they come to see the welfare of your soul. They come to see how you are doing, how your family is doing, what your struggles and burdens are. And so part of this hospitality is showing hospitality to the office bearers and them to us, that we may know how we are doing as a body, that we may know how one another is doing and where we can help or where we are to help one another. But hospitality is also the first response of believers. We see that in Scripture, that every new believer that we read of here, they show hospitality without grumbling. In fact, they pressed it upon the people. In Acts 16, when Lydia was saved, it says she urged Paul and Silas to come and stay with them. And the reason again was this fellowship, to hear more of Christ, to speak more of that common faith and salvation. You think Paul ever forgot that visit? Or in John 4, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, after he revealed to her who he was, she urged Jesus to come and to stay with her and her family so they could hear, so that others could hear of the Lord. And as a result, others were saved. Her friends, her neighbor, her family were saved when Christ came to her house. And so are we hosting people with this in mind, that others would come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ around our dinner table to hear of who the Savior is. We read of the jailer who was saved when Paul and Silas were in prison after the earthquake. And after he brought them to their house, he gave them food and they were rejoicing as he taught his family as well. And so these all have the common desire to hear more of Christ. And so here we see the necessity of hospitality for us all. And this should encourage us, congregation, to host one another, to host Bible studies in our houses, or small group meetings, to read, to study the Bible together, to pray together, to sing together. to study her confessions, invite new visitors, new believers into our house to learn more. This is not the only place we should be hearing of God or learning of God. It should be daily in our homes. We should be gathering together to work on this, to strengthen and encourage each other. And especially young people. I want to speak to you young people for a moment. Because how often or how much of your time is spent in this world, in the studying the things of this world. Your life is very busy. You go to school, you go to university, you play with friends, you play your sports, and you're learning of all these things. Especially in university, we have a lot of homework. And then you add up all that time, but how much of your day really is spent in God's Word? How much of your day is studying the Bible? How much of your day is meeting with other godly people and asking them of what it means to be a Christian, of what it means of how to walk with the Lord? Because we have to make this a priority. Because if we let ourselves be pulled along with all the busyness of this world, the world will eat you up. There'll be nothing left, no time left for God, no time left for His church. And before you know it, you won't go to church at all. And so now is the time to meet with godly people, your parents, your grandparents, other members of the congregation, people older than you, people the same age as you, to speak of the Lord. And so I encourage you, us all, we don't all have the same gifts. We have to recognize that. We don't all have the same ability. But what do we have? We all have our own strengths and weaknesses. But what has God given us? How can we minister? Maybe just giving a little food here to a needy one. Maybe a word of encouragement. Maybe a letter. Maybe a scripture passage that you can explain to them. Visiting the widows, the elderly, the sick. Speaking to the young people, even after church. Do we take the opportunity to speak to one another, to look out for those who need a word? We have to be intentional with this, because it doesn't come natural to most of us. Be intentional in looking where we can be of help. In the church, we usually have greeters at the door. We usually have people who can open their doors for lunch. But look for those opportunities. Look for visitors. Offer them. Or if there's young people who come to college, do they need a place to stay? Do they need a godly home, a godly church to be in so that they're not carried away with the life of university? And so it is. Hospitality is a God-given order. And it's so countercultural, so counter-individualistic mindset of our day. So we need to prepare not only our hearts, but also our homes. And not just the mothers, but also the fathers. Not only the adults, but also the children. So that we can grow as a body together. And so start small. Start with the little things that you can think of. And remember that it's God's will for us. And so pray for Him to guide you in this. And pray for our congregation for this. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Amen. Let's pray.